17. Thank you for this song. Thank you for this song. God has been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams. I go to see you. Though I have my share of hard times. So what's yours? I wouldn't trade it. Great time, the grace of God. Thank you. Thank you. I was waiting for the popcorn. And got the popcorn tonight, so I can go. And I'm going to preach fast, and we'll be fine. You tell me to sit down, that'll be fine. And then I'll have you stand up for the reading of the Word of God. And wonderful meal today. Preacher's already preached it and mentioned it. And I had a guest come, and he was on the staff for 5 years. And he drove 2.5 hours to be here. And didn't know really the conference that was going on. And they were so gracious, the family and preacher invited over to the house. And so as we were going out the door, I said, now, this is not like a little lunch. This is a 72-course meal. And I said, so just hang on. And had like the first four plates. Literally, he looked up and he goes, is that all? Is this getting started? And so I went to the hotel room, passed out, and then a bunch of time, so I got pizza. So that was great. So it was great. I like the throwing things. I like to throw the card and things like that. And, we do a camp to try to get a lot of the younger people. They always want to test the manhood of the old people. And so, you know how that works? And so I always challenge them to honor somebody. And I have never lost an honor. Never. I don't have to know that. So no one's ever taken me up on it. I've never had to do it. So that's why I have never lost an arm wrestling, but it's working so far, okay? So that's one of the ladies who fly challenges, so that's only ones I do that for. So I do want to mention my wife again. This is Rupert, just turned around right there. And this is my dear wife of 42 years, and we met in a secular college. I happened to, I got to play on a wonderful football team in high school, and I had three all-state receivers who made me look very good. It was not my ability. My very first pass was from here to you, like six feet. The man ran 49 yards for my very first touchdown pass. I thought, this is an easy game to play right here. This is great. And so three All-State receivers, I looked on paper, so I got to have that football scholarship. And so I'm up to the state of Minnesota and play football up there. My wife was an intercollegiate gymnast. And so we actually had a complex inside. They could fit three football fields inside. And so you practice through the winter months and so forth, amazing complex. And so when I was watching football, I was really watching the gymnast. That's what I was doing. And I met Mrs. Terry Lynn Larson in Minnesota. And I fell in love with her. I knew her at the very start. I knew her. I think this is what I'm going to marry. And she did not have that revelation yet. And so that kind of hindered our relationship. And so after the very third game of our season, we won. And then we went out to the establishment after the game. Where to? Not a good business. And we were there at the establishment, so I wanted to introduce my back coach to the lady that I knew I was going to fall in love with. I'm not a member yet, but I knew her name. And so I stopped in that place. I said, Angel, that was his name. I said, Angel, what's the name of this girl named Terry? And so Terry was talking to somebody else. I'm not sure who. I think I had four other guys. But and so I tapped on the shoulder, and she turned around and said, hello. I said, this is Angel Garcia. He's my backfield coach. And I said, Terry, I thought you got introduced. And she looked at me and said, turn around. I thought, you're my very first introduction. I didn't know very well. So I tapped on the shoulder. I said, I just introduced you to a friend of mine. And she said, who are you? I said, I'm not going to marry you. No, she's fine. It's too far. And Trudy says, you're crazy. I said, you're going to marry a crazy guy. How's that sound? No? And I said, that's not the way to do it. Don't tell her yet. 42 years, we're still doing pretty good, okay? So we're still doing all right. She is the love of my life. I say it often. Outside my walk with God, my greatest joy in this lifetime is being married to Mrs. Terry Lynn Larson Hoon. And I do mean that. And you need to hear that because you hear about marriage now, rough it is out, difficult it is. You're like, well, you got a good marriage. That's not how it works, right? It's not handed a bad marriage, the handed marriage, the handed marriage, and whatever you do with that, it's not a marriage you have, right? I guarantee you, no one had to go any more in marriage than Terry and myself. And yet we realize either we're going to live in a boxing rink or we're going to live in a home. And we got tired of all the stuff listening and not giving a lot of things like that. And why did this first race, they took that box, you know, what do you want to call it, or that paradigm of the marriage, and we just turned it into a home where we love one another. We are blessed with four children. I have a son that is an executive pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church. So he's a Paul Chapel. My son Archer has worked with 2.5 years. He ran seven adult classes. He ran the adult classes. And he left, and now he runs 67 adult classes. His ministry does a wonderful job. My second son is in charge of music and media. And his sister does a great job there. Banker, likewise. My daughter married Mark Likens. And he pastors at Chris Skelly's old church, you know him, in Pennsylvania. And then my youngest daughter married Mike Stroh. And he is the principal of the Shawnee Baptist Church in Louisville. And so all of our children every Sunday are just head over heels about ministry. We live a blessed, blessed life. God is good. Now, hard aches, oh yes. The difficulties, oh yes. But I wouldn't trade them for anything. I wouldn't trade them for anything. And so they're throwing this stuff, and so I can't. They do try to question the old man and things like that. So on wrestling, I'll also say, hey, can anybody here catch the football? And you always have people say, I can catch the football. Like, all of you can say, I catch the football, right? That's wonderful. And I said, no, I need somebody to really catch the football, really catch the football. And so there's always the one or two that say, I can really catch. I said, look, I'm going to let you know, I'm going to go for multiple. I can just catch it. And you always get that one guy that I didn't catch anything. So I always have a football ready. I'll bring him up to the platform. I'll just stand down here. And I throw a football a few times in my life. And so I'll throw a football. And they'll pick it up a little bit. I'll throw a little harder. There were one guy, too short, one guy put his hands up there, threw right there, went through his hands, hit his nose, started bleeding right there. That was not a good way to start a service, okay? That was not very good at all, right? One guy was down there, a platformer, caught in his chest like this, bumping back, fell off the platform. And so I've been loving the football right now, right? And so this is last summer, I was preaching up in Massachusetts, and this guy said, I could catch it, and was it? He could. Did pretty good. And so we didn't have a platform like this, so we had to use the aisle way. And so the guy can literally catch it pretty good. The guy can put a little zip on the ball, he can catch the ball, but he could not throw. He could not throw. And so he got there, so he's throwing underhand. Back to throwing underhand. But one time he got a little thing, he threw underhand, and he let go too late, and was in there, too short, hit the chandelier, broke it, the glass came down, cut the girl right in the front row. So bleeding. That was not the way to start this service either. So I do not play football in the services much anymore. So, well, you know, I do want to say about my mother, and I call her mom now. There was a time in my life I would never do that. I lost my mother when I was 7 years of age. I don't even know how long my mom and dad were married. I think 4 years. I do not know for sure. I did not see a picture of my mother until I was 22 years of age. And so, this is just a kind of bust of life, things like that. Not a whole lot about it. I never thought I was a rough kid. I never thought I went through a lot. I just thought that's the way people kind of got along. And they're in love, and they hit each other, and they yell, and they scream, and cuss, and, you know, you pick each other up. And so, I didn't like it, but I did not know much difference about it. And so, my mom passed when I was 7, then my dad got the costumes, and then he remarried, and we were in different places, and different homes, and all that stuff. But my dad got married for the fourth time. Now, you have to understand that. I'm going to show off like proposing to a lady and saying, you will be number 4. And this lady married my dad, and she was a godsend. A godsend. A godly lady whose husband cheated on her, left her, and she was single for like 10 to 12 years. And she met my dad. My dad was watching me play football. After the third game, my dad was watching her and not me. So that's what happened. And she changed our family. She was amazing. She's 85 years of age. She plays the organ every single service. She does not miss. She's a financial secretary. She goes solo every Saturday, and she visits the old folks home. They try to keep her. She escapes every Saturday. And I love her. There's no doubt it is not bad to do it, but we see her better than her own children do. And they don't have the same walk with God. They understand that. They don't attend church. But she has been a godsend. She had a stroke and this past almost like 7-8 months. We've been trying to stay in communication. The pastor resigned. We've been there for 14, 15 years. And we just feel a need to go there. I was asked to speak here on Monday and Tuesday, so I'm not like escaping and just ducking out like I do my plunges out of here. It may be that I think maybe one last time I see my mom. And that's very charitable to me, so we're going to go see her. So thank you for all of you that made this happen and work. I know the community is your mom. I want to say thank you. And thank you for the nice hotel accommodations and the fruit basket and the wine and the cigarettes. And thank you so much. Making us feel at home. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you will, all say me, please. I'd be great. I like when the pastor introduces and everybody, you know, this is Dr. Mike Johnson. I love hearing him because I know him. And the same place here is his office, and where I have my doctorates, and you know, what does that mean? My people at home don't even know that Dr. Samuel exists, right? You know, the plumber has been there 30 years plumbing. You know, we don't give him a doctorate, you know. And us egotistic Baptist preachers, we feel that's something, so we have that. But I like when you introduce this. By the end of the week, when you introduce it, he's going to start lying about something, right? So at the end of it, so it's great. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I know I have you standing, but I want to say another word. You've had a pastor here for 30 plus years. You get used to it. You want to get another one like him. Before you think there's something else better out there, you better rethink that. 25 years ago, probably, Rev. Jack Cedar said, the longer you stay someplace, the less that you are appreciated. I've been at 32 years. I have great people. I love them dearly. Someone had a test like that, and many, many folks still said, oh, we'll be saying, save the universe. I know that I can wash in the blood and the drink. I love this. And this person said, is this really where you got saved? No, who was it? Where you got saved? And here's my name. Pastor's office. Many of you just say this, that this pastor's had a phenomenal influence upon your life. I don't know. The last 3 or 4 months, we've watched our nation exponentially slide downward. How much time do we have? I don't know. I think I'll go home in the rapture. I don't think I'll die. I'm looking forward to that ride. That's going to be awesome. Whatever time you have left to take care of the pastor. Take care of the pastor. When's the last time you've done something? That's not such a dress-up all the time. When's the last time you've ever had a new suit? That's not even asking. Mary said, why was I new suit? You think that maybe if the pastor preached and preached and preached year after year after year after year, and those messages help more the layman who lives your life. Now, I'm not pastor, but the word of God that God means to you. I gave you pastors out of your heart to teach you the words of God, Jeremiah 3:15. That may be so as well. My family got saved here. Not my family got right back. My family wants a baptism. He's just a man. The love of the Son. He's just a man. And I'll tell you, he's going through a time right now he has never gone through. There's a lot of things I like to say about this COVID virus. And I realize people, that's just new. I listen to three types of people, those who are very afraid of it, those in the middle, those that think it's a joke. I'm like 7 miles down that way, way down there. I hate this stuff. I don't know who here is responsible for taking care of the pastor. Statement I think that'll help you. There's been days in my life where I have worked a whole lot of work and got paid a little money. There's other days in my life where I've done a little work and I got paid a lot of money. Sometimes you think about a pastor, well, you know, he's this old and you know, we've already built buildings, we've already paid the paid parking lot and things like that. But, and I'm not doing this, I'm going to say it honestly, I'm not doing this for him. I'm doing it for you. Because once you start thinking, like, is this pastor? Not his one says, come and dine. And he sets the table and serves the food. It's crazy. Now, I don't know. Maybe this is an old anniversary time. Just pray for him. Not a note. If you want to get rid of him, Brian McKnight spells from how great he is, he'll die of a heart attack. And then you get a new pastor. Oh, that's not right. I've known him very briefly. All I'm going to do here, I never take this. I never take this thing that I get to do this. I get to do this. If you only knew where I came from and what I have in school, not the heart, that's my faith story. If you're not ever to do this, myself to do what I get to do, it's a privilege. So thank you. First Samuel chapter 17. I was going to read the scripture and pray, and it goes on, so you come and preach, right? How's this, right? 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Succoth, which belonged to Judah, just between Succoth and Azekah, and represented Gammon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched at the battle of Elah, and set the battle array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. There was a battle between them. And there went up out a champion of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff and the spear was of the weaver's beam, and the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing his shield went before him. Listen now. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why do you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine in your service of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then he shall be our servants and serve us. Now listen. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Now notice the response. And Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I'd like to mention another verse, in verse 15. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem, and the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Brother Johnson and I have preached at the same place as many, many times again. We realize this, as I said, that's how the first guy to get up, get down, the other guy to get up there and hit that home run. And we understand that, and he's always been so, so kind. And I'll just give some notes here, and I'll get down. But I want to help. I never want to stand up and preach and not help, and not give you something to walk out with. I started Monday night, and Brother Johnson said, go forward. All you remember is we go forward. I just need a step to go forward. We learned about we're going to reap what we sow. We are witnesses. It's a perfect account. You're going to reap what you sow. Why not sow good? You're going to reap good. We already know we're doing our part when we come. Why not sow? Those who sow, we're going to reap what you sow. Then this morning we learned about take up your cross. You all got one. I've got one. I want to stay in mine for yours. And if you knew about mine and about yours, you wouldn't change this for mine. Take up your cross. Then two little words about an attitude. A thing that walks in the room before you. A thing that defines you. I'm not sure how you react when that is happening. Turn two little words from you. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Tonight, I'm going to ask a question. The message I want you to answer. Father in heaven, I pray tonight that, Lord, quickly you give maybe a heart-to-heart here. And, Lord, I think that's what would help us most, to speak to us. Thank you for this dear church. Lord, I love what I can cross the country sit down and feel like I'm at home. As I spoke with Pastor and Mrs. Pastor, I honestly sense that we could have grown up a block apart and been best friends. And thank you for the common denominator of Jesus Christ and how you change our lives. But we've had some hard times. We wouldn't trade them for good. Thanks for being right, God. We love you. For Christ's sake, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, maybe soon. God would like to help you tonight. If God Himself could stand behind this pulpit and man this platform and ask for your undivided individual attention. If He could take every individual here and sit you down right across from Him and say such as, I know. Another school shooting. I know. I know about the black stuff, you know, the white black stuff. All lives matter, black lives matter. I know. I've heard about the massacre. I've heard about the church closures. I've heard about now people can be powerless and can't sing. So what are you going to do about it? Guys, I know what's wrong. I know about the rice. I know about the chaff. I know about chop. I know about the man. I know all about that. And I know you're fed up with it. So what are you going to do about it? You know what? You're fed up. This is our country. I like saying that. This is our country. This is one nation under God, and I believe that, or two nations out of 196 or 204, whichever poll you want to read, I have the very ability to say we are one nation under God. Israel is one, we are the second one. And I still believe this is America, one nation under God. And it has its problems, and God would like to sit down with every individual and simply ask the question, so what are you going to do? You know, I'm taking over. You know, have the little songs. I was appalled about what they asked about Seattle. Seattle, there for 4 days, guys, and can you please send us supplies? Here's what we need: Gatorade, video games, and cigarettes. Hey, what a great power for a coup to take over the city. You know, we need some more video games to play. I want cigarettes to smoke. I want some Gatorade so we keep on going. No one tells us there was a... Why did some mama walk in and take a step out and walk the fire out of it? Well, that's what we need in America again. Someone to stand up and fight back for it, right? And that's what God is saying. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? It's called positioning propaganda. Positioning propaganda. Hezekiah experienced it. They yelled up the wall and said, Assyria's going to come in, all the people are mounted down because they're so afraid. We did it, by the way. Our helicopter fires, we went fire there and dropped off tens of thousands of leaflets and said, you've got us no good in this, and we'll give you a better gun. Mother said, we do it. Satan masters it. Satan masters getting in your head. He wakes your bed silently early in the morning. His first voice is the one you hear. Words of worry, stirs the stress, breathing down your neck at breakfast. He saddens his steps. He knows your calendar. He reads your text and email. He talks trash. Loser! You're no good. You'll be farther along than you are right now. What's going on with your church? It's not going up, it's going down. What's going on here? And Satan knows how to get in your head every single day. He's the master of the keys, the master of deception. It's been your day, and it's going before you even get started. See what God lied? See what He said? He divided their armies, and the armies of God, He divided the Israelites, and And there's a big bleeding guy that everyone can see. He's on the top of the mountainside. And he's talking trash. I'm talking trash. I'm talking. And here's the thing. They do it every day, every morning, every night. That's what happens to us. We wake up. And he did this, and he did that, and he did more. What's wrong here? I'm like, that's not there. Well, you know, there. I was like, who turns on those voices? All the way through the day, you say, okay, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm not doing this stuff. And then about your head, you say, okay, I didn't get that done, I should have done this, he's not me, he's not me, I'm over here. And he just goes and goes and goes. He's good. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not time to solve this, as you say, it was just worse. It was just worse. He hadn't drawn the sword. I don't know if he even flexed his muscle. It was just words. You know, he said this, you and I die by the words we hear. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, he rolls up and says, enough is enough. And let's stop the school shootings. And let's stop the riots. And let's stop the closing of the church. And let's stop the, you can't sing, I'm going to sing. I don't care how much somebody comes, I'm going to sing. I can't even sing. How's that sound, right? But we're not going to close the doors, and we're not going to stop singing. I'm not going to stop having church. I'm not going to stop. Hey, we're going to do what God tells us to do. Why? Because that's what we're supposed to do. Well, it's not the First Amendment. I don't care about the First Amendment. Something most higher than us called the Word of God. The Word of God says we have to submit ourselves to God. So let's just do what God tells us to do. So here it is, the spiritual leader, I'll tell you about. The name was Peppermint Patty. Grace, grace, Lord. Now, I'm to Charlie Brown sometimes, but she said these words. See my fishy promise you this. See my fishy battle line. And boy, Charlie Brown took off there. He can never stand up and problem pattern. Let me just give this. Number one. Look up, God help you. Yeah, forget your past. Right? Or remember. I don't ever want to forget mine. I'm not going to dwell on it. I have a past. You said about my past. When everything else fails, and when everyone starts to worry, you have to start to wonder. I'll do this every single time before I preach, and I was over here tonight, and I was sitting down right in this chair right here, and I do this at home, I do this every place I go, and I look at this book right here. And I know that I get to preach this book. This is the whole Word of God. This is up to it. This sword. This is something that changed his life. This is around for thousands and thousands of years. And God does choose people to teach. And God chooses people to preach. And I have the wonderful opportunity. I'm for you right now. I don't care about anything else that's going on, but I know this. I have a God that loves me. And I can go back to the day he saved me. I think about my salvation. I think about him taking me out of that horrible miry pit. I'm putting on my rock. I'm putting this on right now. I do heart with all one of God. All one of God. And so when all this goes on, you've got to get back. I said, listen, I've got a God. I've got a great God. I've got a new God. I've got a holy God. Oh, I've got something. I'm just thinking about your past, woman. Not only about your salvation, but about the separation against you. Where are the long locks you used to have? Where is that mullet you used to have? And all of the other stuff, you know. And all that stuff. God turned us out of the way. Oh, my soul. I go back to the old. I won't tell you what it was, but it's 3 a.m. in the morning. I'm sitting there, I got my face, my hands, I'm out of my mind. And I said, son, stop. I'm going to stop. He could have been sitting next to me. I felt his breath upon my ear. And I thought, what in the world am I doing? Why did I go back to my past and see how sweet God was in my salvation? Why did I see how sweet he was in the separation? I'm therefore out of the world and be a separate state, Lord, I receive it to myself. Do you remember who you used to be and where you are today? No, don't tell me you can't find a battle. Don't tell me we can't go on. It's just by going to the past a little bit to protest and that God is new, but that's like going on and on and on. I didn't even thought this. I got a lion skin on my floor, and I got that bear head on the wall. I can't wait to eat the lion. This would be so good. Because he already knew what God had done for him. See, listen, God has already worked mightily in your life. Have that past. Have that past, see what God's done for you. Number two, think about your prayer life. And what you know this song? Prayer is as big as God is big. Prayer stopped the sun. Prayer divided the waters. Prayer healed the sick. Prayer made the lame to walk. prayer stopped the lion's mouth. Prayer gave out dust and shoes to the three boys in the burning fiery furnace. Prayer opened the jail. Prayer works. It's prayer works. How are we going to stop this thing? How are we going to overcome this? What are we going to do? Number one, just have that past. Don't worry. Just blow what God is going to do. Number two, just get on our knees and pray. Say, God, would you help our nation? And God, would you please just help us? Because I know we don't deserve it, but I know we need it. And I know that she said the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous man to be able to must. Lord, not for who we are, Lord, just for what we are. You are reminding God, Lord, what is his life? Would you help our nation, please? We're always just praying for our country. Number one, we have a past and rely on God changed our life. Two, we have the very gift of prayer. And three, I like to use those three things there, the false one right there. So, he's in priority. He's the biggest thing we have in our life. Our battles are God's canvas to the world. God didn't put a giant in David's life to hurt David. God put a giant in David's life to make David bigger than life. I do not know your pastor's testimony, although I heard a little bit today at tables, just in conversation. But I know God has changed his life. God is a life changer. I know Pastor Johnson will know that God has changed his life. I know what God has done in my own personal life, so I know that God changed his life. Now, help me here. I think about John Bishop. John Bishop is from Roosevelt, Arkansas. About 19 years ago, he got spinal meningitis and lost everything, became a child again, literally a child again. I did not know how to bathe and how to dress himself. He had been married for, let's say, 21 years at that time. And he had to learn everything over again. And so his wife taught him how to dress and taught him how to talk and taught him how to do things. He never lost in mind the scriptures. That was amazing. And but I love John's recent testimony. He's so close, like 5-year-old. I know because she was saying that you, John, and she said, me, Donna. That's the name, Donna. But she said, you, John, me, Donna. So, you, John. She now calls her Madonna. Not Madonna you think of, but Madonna. So, and that's the name. And she had to teach me how to kiss all over this. Is that my favorite subject right there? When he taught me how to kiss again. He calls it giving sugar. And then, but watch this. I've preached to John Bishop now for years and years and years. The man, when he stands and preaches and tells how good God is in his simplicity voice, is amazing. Why? Because God has done more in his life. Is God the priority of our desires today? We have a past we can launch out of. We have a prayer we can lean on. We have a God who's right now for us. Just as it changed many lives around here, it changed your life also. And then we have this. Not only do we have the past, the prayer, that priority. So I love about David, he had passion. I mean, it's a little phrase, and I'll use that when we close down here. He had passion. I like the story read about David, because when Goliath was up there giving his little enumeration up there about how tough he was, how big he was, you understand this is a maybe a late teenage boy that has just a shepherd's outfit on, has a little pack over here, and has a sling. And yet, when you know that the man made fun of him, and he would get over right there. But then David, just took it out of his clothes. He said, like, let me tell you something, Buster. I'm going to knock the fire out of you, and the bird's going to eat your carcass right here. I mean, God is just letting him know. I think that Zion thought, this might be a battle. This might be something. And David went right after him. David was not focusing on the giant. David was focusing on God. And he knew God was going to do some great work. David didn't kill a lion by himself. David didn't kill the bear by himself. And David knew that. There are times that you and I, and all of us, are priests and messengers, and we see the very strength of the Spirit of God. And we know it's not us. We know that God is in that building, and God is working on lives. And we see that, and we say, oh, what a God we have. David knew that God. I promise that God. And he knew he could win the battle. Just like you and I need to know. God can save our country, and God can bring us back to God, and God can grow our churches, and God can grow our ministry. God can do those things. We need to trust in God. It's a question. Who is betting on David? Who was betting on the boy from Bethlehem? Hey, Saul wasn't. Saul wasn't betting on David. Okay, his brothers weren't. Hey, your family not before you. What's this? The authority, Saul may not be for you. The enemy, he was a joke. Hey, who was betting on the boy from Bethlehem? Nobody. question. Who's better than I am? Who's better than you? So if you don't pass through that truth, if you don't head that thing, you don't learn that truth, who's going to? Who's betting on you? I wrote it down. My wife's betting on me. And I'm not going to find that one. I tell you what, she wants me to walk with God. She wants me to need to walk with God. My wife's betting on me. She's trying to stay close to God. I no matter what, don't get so busy. Get too busy for God. I have to walk with God. I got to have that. I got to have this family. I got to have this thing. I got to have this hospital. I got to have God's covering. Oh, honey, walk with God. Walk with God. Oh, honey, say, my wife's with me. That is our family reunion. All 26 of us got together. And I say, yes, I know there's my kids with me. Let me need dad to walk with God. I have been young and I am old. You have never seen the righteousness of the Lord see baby boy. As long as I walk with God, my children should never beg a day in the life. As long as I do what God taught, my children have been on me. I'll tell you, my church has been on me. Yeah, I've been there for 32 years. And you told me, they get tired of hearing us. And they gave birth for 30 years. I got tired of hearing that for 3 months. And so, let alone 30 years, I'm tired of hearing it. That's okay. That's good. But they're betting on me. They're rooting for me tonight. They know I'm preaching out. And they know I'll get tomorrow night in my home church. And they're rooting for me. They're betting on me. They say, we're going to do right. Come on, then we're going to do that. But God's betting on me. God said, that's my boy. That's David. Here we go. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. And there's old Goliath bringing over here. The old arm and the old voice, things like that. And God said, yeah, but watch this. Here's my boy. Here's my boy, David. Here's my pastor, Bell. Here's my preacher. Here's my preacher's wife. Here's my usher. Here's my deacon. Does God bet on you? Let's not give him to you. When I shut my doors, we never stop singing. The only reason I shut my doors is I believe I was doing right by my authorities. I believe I was doing right by my city and my state. But I was hoodwinked and I was duped and I will not shut my doors again. I'm not a maverick. I'm not a rebel. Honestly, God is doing well. But we're not going to shut our doors again. We're going to pray. We're going to do what God wants us to do. Because somebody's betting on us. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray tonight that some dad will think my son looks up to me. Some mother will say my daughter still comes to me for advice. The pastor sits in his office and wonders if he's important. And someone asks, says, Pastor, I'm not doing well. Can you help me? Lord, I pray in our nation tonight that in this state of Ohio, our home state, that Lord, there be churches and lay people and pastors alike. But realize a lot of people are counting on their own labels. Bet money, wage money, in the proper sense. We just need somebody to say enough is enough. Now we know parents, we can dwell off that. And you take your son out of sin and kept some from sin. Number two, we have the gift of prayer. And my people shall call them my name, so I myself and bring this to my feelings. Call me and I will answer them, say great mighty things on your own. Ask and you shall receive. Well, we don't have that wonderful power to get your prayer. Then we realize that we're talking about God. Priority. Number one, big G God, I heard last night. We're not talking about a hopeless. We're not talking about a hopeless. We're talking about God. I'm talking about God. Can turn the nation back to God. They probably think about that at passion. How bad we want to miracle. How bad we want to stay. How bad we want to keep a truth in. How bad we want to keep sinners in. How good is passion. Well, in addition to last night, there's persistence. So that's the invitation. Will I stay after? It'll take more than one I'm sorry to have parents. It'll take more than just one or two messages from pastor to establish his church. It'll take one, more than one prayer to God to save a nation. And we're going to stay after. Just going to stay after. Don't really need an invitation. Just in your mind, answer this question. Who's betting on me? May we rise to that occasion and do exactly what God tells us to do. David did. And David added to his little showroom there the lion and the bear and the head of life, all because God had on him. Help us this night. Bless the priestess that comes to us. Christ the Father.